White, J.E. White, Emma. Crystal Springs, St. Helena, California. December 10th, 1900. Dear children Edson and Emma, I have received the two last copies of the Gospel Herald. I have been expecting things to go as they have gone in the southern field, and I have felt intensely that decided work should be done. You must not fail or be discouraged. The Lord understands all about the difficulties. Try to do your very best. This is all the Lord requires of you. He has accepted your labors of love for the downtrodden African race, and if the fields you have tried so hard to work have been closed to you, may the Lord have compassion upon those who have given the work so little attention except to criticize. They closed their eyes to the situation after the warning was distinctly given that things would be as they are now. The only thing now to be done for the closed field is for those who have refused to be impressed with their duty to change this terrible phase of their conduct. It is possible that something may yet be done. Those who have passed by on the other side might better do their duty now in regard to the southern field. The light given me is that had they, at the right time, done the work the Lord gave them to do for the class in such great need of help, the voice of entreaty and instruction from the Lord would have been heard, and the showing in the southern field would be very different from what it now is. But Edson, it is of no use for you to work yourself to death, as you have nearly done in the past. It is of no use for you to spend sleepless nights and thus rob yourself of the vitality the Lord desired you to possess. There are some parts of the southern field in which no one can labor without sacrificing health. I have known this from the first. God has a work to be done. Your work is ever kept before me. It is to preach the gospel. You are doing this work with marked success in the southern field, but this field is not to be your only place of labor. You have a work to do at our camp meetings. God has a message for you to bear. You are to do this work in the most simple lines, not by sermonizing, but by educating as an evangelist in gospel ministry. We have an abundance of sermonizing. What is most needed at our camp meetings and conference sessions is love for perishing souls, that love which comes in rich currents from the throne of God. True Christianity diffuses love through the whole being. It touches every vital part, the brain, the heart, the helping hands, the feet, enabling men to stand firmly where God requires them to stand, so that they will not make crooked paths for their feet, lest the lame be turned out of the way. The burning, consuming love of Christ for perishing souls is the life of the whole system of Christianity. What is the Bible interpretation of God? God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. By giving Christ to our world, God manifested his love for mankind. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. Yes. Everlasting life. This is the love which is the fulfilling of the law. Only he whose heart is filled with compassion for fallen man, who loves to a purpose, showing his love by the performance of Christ-like deeds, will be able to endure the seeing of him who is invisible. He only who loves his fellow men to a purpose can know God. He who loves not those for whom the Father has done so much knows not God. This is the reason there is so little genuine vitality in our churches. Theology is valueless unless it is saturated with the love of Christ. God is supreme. His love in the human heart will lead to the doing of work that will bear fruit after the similitude of the character of God. In the 13th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul defines true Christ-like love. It would be well to print this chapter in small type in every paper issued from our presses. Put it in the Gospel Herald, that it may preach its living sermon wherever the paper may go. This chapter is an expression of the obedience of all who love God and keep His commandments. It is brought into action in the life of every true believer. Charity, love, suffereth long, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. O blessed leaves of the tree of life! And now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Verses 4 to 6, 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Because our guidebook is so very plain and definite. Psalm 103, verse 1. Others may not follow the plain "it is written," which Christ used on every occasion to meet the fallen foe. But let us follow the Savior's example. The less we give expression to our own human opinions, the purer and more marked with grace will be our conversation. The Lord calls for sanctified speech, because it is a savor of life unto life. He requires every human agent to take special care of his own soul temple, allowing nothing that defileth to enter his lips, using no stimulants or narcotics, refusing to eat many kinds of food at a meal, because thereby a cesspool is made of the stomach. God calls, "Attention all! Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong." 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. 1 Peter 5, verse 8 to 11. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under bondage to the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5, verse 16 to 21. This is the evil fruit of an evil tree. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law to condemnation. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Verses 22 to 26. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, verse 2. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Verse 6. Here is presented the responsibility resting on one to teach the word, and the equal responsibility resting upon him who is taught, the hearer, the learner, to show respect and appreciation for those laboring in the ministry. He is to feel his obligation to impart to them of his temporal substance in all good things. The obligation resting upon both parties is mutual. Let all bear this in mind and seek to realize and fulfill their responsibilities. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, and he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Verses 7, 8. Wonderful truth. This is a two-edged sword which cuts both ways. This life and death question is before the whole human race. The choice we make in this life will be our choice through all eternity. We shall receive either eternal life or eternal death. There is no middle ground, no second probation. We are called upon to overcome in this life as Christ overcame. Heaven has provided us with abundant opportunities and privileges, so that we may overcome as Christ overcame and sit down with him on his throne. But in order to be overcomers, there must be in our lives no petting of fleshly inclinations. All selfishness must be cut out by the roots. Let us not be weary in well-doing. Verse 9. Why should we, with such helpers to cooperate with us in fighting the battle of life? At our baptism, we were pledged to the service of God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we received the holy rite. The pledge was a life pledge on the part of heaven, if we will comply with the conditions. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Colossians 3, verse 1. In due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Galatians 6, verse 9, 10. My heart is comforted in the Lord and made strong as I write these words. My prayer while I write is that the Lord will awaken his people to action. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 5, 6. The truth requires every minister to be temperate in all things, that he may have a vigorous mind to use in the Lord's service. He who bears the great responsibility of ministering in word and doctrine should be a man of sound mind. His habits of life, of eating and drinking, are to be pure, even as Daniel's. Every worker connected with God in sacred service is under bonds to be a pattern of piety in every phase of his life, that God may make of him a channel of communication to the church and to the world.